Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
What are we asking for when we ask for forgiveness? We're asking for those four things that I mentioned to be reversed. Our guilt, what we deserve, our guilt feelings, how we feel, God's wrath, how he feels, and the resulting estrangement from God. Forgive me means reverse all four of those things. Let's go through each of the four. First, removal of the actual guilt. Think of what a miracle that is. Did you know that God is the only one who can do that? That's something that no judge or court in the world has the ability to do, even with the slightest little offense. They can't do that. If you steal a piece of gum, the Supreme Court of the United States, the best they could ever do is not penalize you for it, exempt you from the punishment, tell you that in the eyes of the law, you're free to go. But they could never, ever do anything to remove that actual guilt. If they say you are innocent of that, they would just be wrong. You're not innocent of it. You did it. You're guilty of it, whether they see it or not. But God can remove sin and remove the guilt. Not just the guilt feelings, the actual guilt. When God forgives you, he makes it so you are not guilty of that sin. The guilt is removed. The Greek word for forgive in this text is the same word translated divorce in 1 Corinthians 7, three different times. It points to a complete, final, permanent separation. In fact, that word forgive is translated leave more often in the Bible than it's translated forgive. It's just the regular word for leaving something. Matthew 4:20, they left their nets and followed Jesus. That's the same word. They forgave their nets. They turned their back on them and walked away, leaving them behind. Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. That word, that Hebrew word for forgiven there, it literally means to pick up and carry away. Carry away. Our guilt, God sends it away. And that's described in the Bible in the most dramatic terms. He doesn't just kind of detach it 5 feet away. Psalm 103:12, as far as the east is removed from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Jeremiah 50:20, search will be made for Israel's guilt, but there will be none found, I will forgive. No one will be able to find it. Micah 7:19, you will hurl all our iniquities into the depths of the sea. Remember the servant who owed the 200,000 years wages and begged for mercy? And what did he beg for? Patience. Be patient with me so that I can pay back everything. What did the king's response? The king's response is designed to teach us what God's forgiveness is like. What did he say? Matthew 18:27, the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. He did not set up a reasonable payment plan. Pay me 50 cents a week or whatever you can afford. 1 second after the king made that statement, that servant owed that king not one penny. Debt was gone. The reason God can eliminate your actual guilt, Supreme Court of the United States can't do that. No human being can do that. Nobody else can. It's a miracle. We can't even conceive of it. It's impossible to even think about how this could happen, how I could commit a crime and then not be guilty of it. God can do that. The only reason God can do that is because he has the ability to credit Jesus' perfect righteousness to your account and to credit your sins to his account. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's what he was doing on the cross. He was being punished for my sins that were credited to his account. What we deserved was transferred to him so that what he deserves, all the reward that he deserves, is now transferable to us. That's called Justification. Biblical word for that, justification. And justification, oh, it's an exceedingly wonderful and delightful thing, but, now listen carefully, especially those theologians here. Justification is only one part of forgiveness. I think many Christians, if you ask them the definition of forgiveness, would give you the definition, basically, of justification. Their definition would make forgiveness nothing more than justification. It is more. Justification is legal. Forgiveness is relational. There is much more to your relationship with God than just your legal standing with Him. Legal standing is crucial. That's important. But it's not all there is. You are not just a name in a book to God. When God forgives you, He goes from being angry with you and displeased with you to being favorable towards you. God, forgive me means, God, please do not deal with me according to my sin. Don't let your emotions and feelings toward me be determined by this sin anymore. That's what forgive me means. You know when you've sinned against somebody, you've hurt somebody, and that person is now kind of cool towards you, they're a little cold shoulder, you're at odds with them, and things aren't just aren't quite right between you and them, and you know it's because of what you did. Your sin against them is a major factor in how they think about you and how they relate to you now. But then, later, once all is forgiven, it's in the past, your sin no longer is determinative at all about how they feel towards you, you're not at odds with them in any way, that's forgiveness. And that is what we're asking for. When we ask God, forgive me, that's what we're asking for. You look up at this furious, angry God who's holding this slender, smoldering thread that keeps you from plunging into hell, and you don't just say, please don't let go. What you say is, please don't be angry at me anymore. Don't regard me as a loathsome insect anymore. The problem isn't the thread. It's not the slenderness of the thread. It's the fact that the one holding it is furious with you. That's the problem. So don't think of forgiveness merely as the elimination of punishment. There's no necessary connection between punishment or non-punishment and forgiveness. If you think about it, a father might forgive his disrespectful son, but still punish him, right? Or a father could refuse to forgive his son, but waive the punishment. I'm not going to punish you, but I'm still mad at you. See, there's no necessary connection between the punishment and forgiveness. The son who dearly loves his father desires more than anything else forgiveness. Consequences or no consequences, he just wants everything to be okay now between him and his dad. So when God forgives, He eliminates our guilt, and His displeasure toward us gives way to Him being happy with us. And that enables us to be free from the load of our guilt feelings, which is one of the great joys of life.
The Bible says when we come to faith in Christ, we are justified. Justification is like being pardoned by the governor after you've committed a crime. It doesn't say anything about any relationship between you and the governor. It just means you don't have to suffer the punishment for that crime. That's part of forgiveness, but it's not even close to all of what forgiveness means. The relational part is more like standing before a loved one whom you have deeply hurt and having that person say, "I know you feel bad. All is forgiven. I don't want you to be sad about it anymore. I don't want you to think about what you did anymore because I'm not going to. It's time for us to be happy together again." With that conception of forgiveness in your mind, consider some recent sin and say to God, "Father, forgive me."
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.